Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. My name is Chris Sharp, and I'm your host for this week's highlight show. The Coach and Coordinator Podcast is here to help you lead the next generation of football players. Whether it is a lesson on implementing new schemes, leadership seminars, or ongoing trends in football, our channel is a resource for you. On Monday, we invited Keenan Bailey onto the show. Coach Bailey is an offensive assistant at Ohio State University, and he helps their receivers by making sure they use a practice swing mentality. Hear how Coach Bailey manages reps during practice.
Yeah, so really, you're totally right. You get what you emphasize. That's what Coach Meyer used to always tell us. And if you want great top ends, emphasize the top end. You want great releases, which we do, but we don't put a premium on that. You get what you emphasize. And really for us during the season, right now is a great time in the offseason. We have these developmental drills or agility drills that we could work technique. In the season, you get 5 minutes on Tuesday with your guys for Indy, then we're going to routes on air. Mm-hmm. And then on, you know, the next day we're working red zone, third down. You don't get any Indy period. So we ask ourselves, how many good reps can I get in a 6 or 7 minute individual period? One thing that I encourage all, I'm going to tell these coaches here today, Coach Hartline has the practice swing mentality to developmental drills. Here's what that means. If you go watch a golfer, Tiger Woods, let's say, he doesn't just walk up to the tee box, grip it and rip it. He always has a couple practice swings. So if you come out and watch us, which I encourage you to do in the spring, you'll see in our wide receiver drills this practice swing mentality. What that means is, say I'm having a guy work a punch at the top end of his route. I'll have him work a punch. Great, he'll gather, work a second punch. And only on that third rep, that third repetition, will it be live. He'll get a ball. Mm-hmm. All right, so we try to do that in a lot of our drills. Let's say again, I'm working a release. So we'll have a guy jog down a line and work that rep, work that body, that body mechanic of, let's say, a jab release. All right, so he'll work it once. He'll work it twice. And then on that third one, it's live. Why do we do that? Well, as a player, there's nothing worse than I did a rep one time. It was a bad rep. And now I'm standing in line waiting to go again. And what are you thinking about? Yeah. Wow, I just had a bad rep for 2 minutes now. I'm thinking about that bad rep. Next off, how many times as a coach you say, no, that's not it. Send him back, start over. Well, we eliminate that because he just practiced a rep twice before a live rep. Mm-hmm. So again, just this practice swing mentality we try to incorporate in all of our drills, having 16 guys in a line.
Tuesday's episode brought us the University of Kansas's new offensive coordinator, Brent Dierman. Tune in to hear how Coach Dierman breaks down C and D gap RPOs in his offense.
You know, one of the things that we have really want to is anytime I'm reading a C gap player, which is most time a defensive end or an overhang outside linebacker, anytime I'm reading a C gap player, I never stay in the pocket to throw RPOs anymore. Because that's when you get your quarterback hurt. That's mm-hmm. when, if he's reading a third level player and you're not blocking the C gap, that's when that defensive end can mesh charge and blow your quarterback up.
Right.
So if he's reading a C gap, it's triple option. It's the old veer. It's running out with, instead of a pitch, he's got a bubble, or he's got a go ball, or he's got a flat route. We give him some type of a third option to it. So it's a triple option. And then in the D-gap reads, we're going to tell him, hey, we're going to handle from C-gap to C-gap blocking, and you handle the D-gap space, no matter if it's the Sam linebacker or could be the free safety in this new robber coverage that TCU, Gary Patterson's kind of come up with now. He's going to read the field safety, or in the boundary, I'm going to read the corner or the boundary safety. So we're going to read the D-gap player. On the D-gap player reads, we're going to stay on the spot. Because he's not forced off the spot with a C-gap and rushing him, he can now stay on his spot to make those throws. So teaching quarterbacks gaps, teaching quarterbacks the why of, here's why we're going to run out of it. Here's why you can stay in the pocket. And then the last thing we kind of went into today is the gap scheme RPOs, which a lot of people are scared of.
Right.
They're scared of pulling guards and running RPOs because of weakness of the protection. But we teach our quarterback the weakness in the protection. We teach our quarterback we're taking a backside gap and adding it to the front side, which is great for the front side run, but it sucks for the backside of the pass pro. So if they bring any pressure off the backside edge, here's what you've got to do. You've got to fix it by either handing it, getting in the way of it, or by making this hot throw, making this slant throw off the backside edge. Or the way I've told guys now is I teach RPO protections the same way I teach empty pass pro. The quarterback better understand where he's going to get hit from. Uh-huh. So that's really benefited us, and I think a lot of those guys today learned something out of that.
Our home team series has brought us a lot of insight into how to balance family and football. Learn how Comstock Park High School's head coach, Doug Samuels, gives his staff the opportunity to work at home on the weekends without sacrificing production.
Yep, so Saturday for me, I'm pretty plugged in college football-wise. I mean, I'll watch our game from Friday with games going in the background, but so much of my job is knowing what's happening in college football, you know, between coordinators and head coaches and assistants, that I really need to be pretty plugged in on Saturday, flipping through a bunch of games. So I tell my coaches, and I tell our team the same thing, like, watch college football on Saturday. You know, if you see something great, you know, everyone's kind of got TiVo or whatever you want to call it now, DVR. Rewind it, video it, put it in Slack, you know, put some keywords with it. So if we want to go back and reflect on that in 3 weeks when we play our rival, you know, we can do that. Slack's a great, great deal for that. Also, you know, want my guys to be on social media, you know, between guys like Dan Casey or Spread Offense or whoever that may be, they're sharing.
Yep.
All the latest and greatest going on during games and catch a lot of things. So taking that kind of stuff, put it in Slack, and just kind of using that as kind of a brainstorm session is what sure. We utilize Slack for on Saturday. But I don't expect a whole lot from guys on Saturday. Now Sunday, again, dig in a little bit more, like you said, you know, but dig in when it's convenient for you, when, you know, you're, you know, after church or, you know, when your kids are taking a nap or your wife's taking a play date or whatever, you know, everyone's schedule's so different. Just be able to dig in when you can, add to that offensive suggestion sheet when you can. You know, for the defensive guys, I want them to, you know, along with myself, be labeling the formations, try and get a first run through of their, you know, run scheme stuff, their explosive plays. And we would send a lot of stuff into huddle assist, but I found that's so hit or miss. It's a whole different story. But we want to find the explosive plays and their formation stuff, tendency stuff on Sunday is really what we're looking for. So that's kind of the first run through is finding all that.
A member of the Quarterback Collective Academy, Coach Will Hewlett joined us on Thursday's episode to discuss how he trains the next generation of quarterbacks. From warm-ups to in-game scenarios, Coach Hewlett has his QBs ready to perform.
What I like to think about when I'm warming up a quarterback, we're overhead throwers, right? We're rotational athletes and overhead throwers. And so for some reason along the lines, you know, football forgot that quarterbacks, you know, can benefit from position-specific warm-ups. And so we have to do more than just jogging around the field and then, you know, doing some static stretches for the arm. You can pattern great movement pathways in throwing mechanics with an effective warm-up. And so we like to look at it from a standpoint, you know, just like you would warm yourself up before you, you know, sprinted a 40 or you started your practice, you know, how can we implement body weighted exercises? How can we get the joints that we're going to be utilizing, your hips and your shoulders and your forearms, and, you know, so we can prevent injuries long term and then pattern good movements. And so we're going to demonstrate some drills specifically to those joints that I think are everyday drills.
Yeah.
You can also use them for, you know, cool downs. You can use them for strengthening. And there's, you know, there's other layers to training you can get into. There's a whole world out there with like weighted balls and stuff, but you got to be careful with those things, you know, especially with different age groups. But I'm going to show just the general best practices of how to get a quarterback's arm and hips and their lower body sequenced up correctly with their upper body, and then helping them, you know, kind of start practice out on the right foot instead of just grabbing a football and ripping it 50 times pre-practice.
Yeah.
Let's give them some things that they can, you know, get better at.
Friday's episode brought us two coaches, Robert Pomazak, the head coach of St. Charles North High School, and his offensive coordinator, Brian Flynn, joined the show. They discussed their dynamic together and how they lead their program on game days.
From a standpoint of in between plays, who's got the mic, in between series,
how are we going to relay messages that are coming from the booth down to our offensive line coach or our coordinator, and then eventually the communications that's going to get to the kids. And that's something that we talk about as a staff. That's something that we practice during our scrimmage games and during our practices, because the last thing any of us want is to have somebody who's screaming over the headset when we're trying to concentrate. And my job as a head coach, I'll let Brian know situations. Hey, we're in four down territory. Think about 2 minute drill, middle 4 minutes, Brian. Let's make sure that we want to put some points on the board. If there's a personnel situation I think we can take advantage of, I might cue him on that. But when it comes down to calling the plays, that's his show. And that's something where I'm going to, it's going to go quiet, and it's going to be his opportunity to make the call. And I trust him, and I always think the best call is going to come from him, not from me, because my investment on the offensive game plan is very limited. And so I'm going to trust the guys who spend the time on film, and at that point, it's not me. And if I really feel strongly about something, Brian, we'll have that conversation, but it's not really something in the heat of a game that I think that's my place. It's happened before where I've been a little more opinionated than probably I want it to be, and Brian has said, hey, listen, like, I need the mic, and I need to stay in my rhythm. And that's what I appreciate, is the fact that he's man enough and I'm man enough for us to have that conversation. And then, we're hugging each other at the end of the game. Like, there's no animosity. It's just right. Two guys who really want the best for the program. Right. And I appreciate that he's able to keep me in check, and that's because he trusts me and I trust him.
Brian, from, your perspective then, whether it's halftime or in between series, the adjustment part of it, right? And understanding maybe some of the feedback you've gotten from coach, making those adjustments, making sure, hey, I heard this from him, let's make sure we address this, talk about that process, because you only have a few minutes.
Right. Well, like Coach Rob mentioned, the pre-game meeting that we have, we talk about a lot of those things, so it's going into the game, we have a relatively good idea of what's going to happen. In the midst of the game, like Rob does not really talk a whole lot during the play calling process, unless it comes up, hey, so-and-so, maybe there's an injured, there's a new corner in, so we can go exploit that guy. There's a new DN or whatever. It could be something as much as, hey, so-and-so hasn't really touched the ball in a while. The small, short comments that I can, so it's not necessarily a play, but it could be someone to pick on, someone to go after, or hey, let's get the ball to our dudes, because obviously that's what's going to give us the best chance to win. Post-series, sometimes a brief conversation about what do we want to do next, like if it's the middle 8 minutes, that type
of
thing.
Yeah, right.
And then there might be a brief conversation like on the play that turns into the next possession, so like a punt or a kickoff. Hey, let's do this, let's do that. But from a specific play, it's actually very little.
For our featured iTunes review of the week, we have Coach Stauffer. He says, the Coach and Coordinator podcast is one of the best football pods, if not the best. Always takes a lot of notes, great content, and appreciate the work you do. Thank you for tuning in, Coach Stauffer. Leave a 5-star rating on iTunes, and you can be featured in next week's highlight episode. Thank you for tuning into the Coach and Coordinator podcast. If you enjoy the content on our show, please don't hesitate to like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review for our podcast on iTunes. Also, do not forget to check out our systems for skill development in blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. Follow us daily on Twitter for content and interaction at FBDevCoach. That is FBDEVCoach. And be sure to check out our X's and O's and analysis at blogs.usafootball.com.